There's an ultimate respect that the Warriors and the Cavs have for one another. It's fairly obvious as I watch. This is what I love about the Warriors right now. They are sending a message that they came to win. They're trying to win the championship this year, and they want to make sure that everyone understands what they're trying to do.
Rick Bucher.
I mean, the Cavs are doing everything that the Warriors are doing, right?
And that's what I was getting to. The Cavs have stepped up their game. They're like, we're the champs.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We're not going to lay down. We're the champs.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
I'm Rick Bucher. He's BJ Armstrong. Our producer, Shane Freeman, is along for the ride. And it is the BJ and Bucher podcast. As I said, the 40th episode, BJ Armstrong is in a gym. Don't think that he's getting work done in a gym. He's doing a podcast in a gym. Let's be clear on that. There is some squeaking of shoes. They will not be BJ Armstrong's. That said,
if BJ, a ball is bouncing and the shoes are squeaking, I'm there.
Yeah,
I see the next great player. I see the next great player. I'm looking at him right now.
Soundtrack of your life. Let's get to the first quarter. The NBA Finals have begun, and they started without the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, who is still dealing with the issues from a botched surgery on his back from 2 years ago. With the clients that you have on the Warriors and your knowledge of how a pro coach and system works, what is the impact of having a coach around but not on the bench during games as important as these?
Well, I think the impact of Steve Kerr or Coach Kerr is his leadership. You know, Steve has an enormous amount of wisdom about the game itself. And the thing that I think people underestimate with Steve is his toughness and what he brings. You know, Steve is always going to have his team prepared. And I think what he brings when he's back in the fold, if you will, is a certain amount of calmness that his team prepares with. You know, when they're down, you know, Steve is right there. He doesn't talk about what they're not doing. He's always talking to them about the next play. And that's what I love about Steve. He coaches his team like a championship caliber team from day one. And you don't dwell on what you can't do. You dwell on what you need to do or you have to do in order to win the game. So I think Steve's leadership and what he's done and what he's imparted into his staff, you see that with the players. You know, Steve, I think, understands this better than anyone. This league is about two things. And Rick, you've heard me say it a million times. It's about talent and it's about toughness. They're an incredibly talented group, but this is a very tough group. They're tough physically and they're tough mentally.
All right, let's go to the second part of the first quarter. We're also in the midst of preparations for the NBA draft on June 22nd. You in particular are in the midst of preparation because you have at least one high profile client in this draft. I just wonder when you look at, and are we allowed to mention who you have? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Josh Jackson from Kansas was the big fish that BJ Armstrong landed for the Wasserman Media Group. We don't know exactly where he's going to go. And I just wonder, as his agent, and you have these conversations with GMs around the league, and as you told us at the NBA draft combine, you spoke to every single team while you were there. As the agent, the representation for a talent like Josh Jackson, do you value trying to get him picked as high as possible, if number one or whatever it might be? Or do you look at it through, I want to put him in the right place. I want to try to get him to the team where he's going to have the best chance to succeed.
You know, playing in that league and then working in that league as a executive, I was very humbled from the following. How you evaluate players based on what you thought you know means nothing. Because and I'll give you a few examples. Draymond Green, he was drafted 35th in this league. 35th. All of these great minds and great evaluations and all of these analytics, he goes 35. The new catchphrase in the NBA is we're looking for shooters. But how does Steph Curry go 7? How does Klay Thompson go 10? How does Kobe Bryant go 13? The list goes on. Michael Jordan, who is the greatest player, they say one of the greatest players ever played, how does he go 3rd? The list goes on and on and on. You know, you look at
why is that? Why do we see guys undervalued?
Because the college game that we are evaluating is a totally different sport than professional basketball. Our evaluation, and I say ours, the people at the NBA, all of us adults who played, it's our evaluation of college basketball as it translates to professional basketball needs to be addressed. Because you look at players, Isaiah Thomas, for instance, that plays for the Celtics. How does he go 60th? Mm-hmm. It is very, very difficult to evaluate college basketball and how it's going to translate to the pro game. You okay. just don't know.
So all that said, I'll pose the question again. Do you look at this and say, and obviously it depends a little bit on the talent. If you have certain talents that can be successful anywhere they go, the vast majority of the players coming in the league need to be at the right place at the right time to maximize what they're capable of being. So let's go on the premise that that's what you're looking for with Josh Jackson. Do you still look at it and say, hey, if he goes really high, then they've invested in him. They're going to give a longer leash there in making it happen. Or do you say, I want to put him in the right atmosphere. I want to put him in the right culture. It's basically a little bit like I'll go lower to San Antonio than going to a place like Philadelphia or Brooklyn or places that historically have struggled developing great players.
I look at it from this standpoint, but I've always looked at it from this. I'll use myself as an example. I was very lucky when I came into this league. I was drafted 18th mm-hmm. by the Chicago Bulls. My first coach was Phil Jackson. That was my introduction to the NBA. So when you get drafted, you know, I tell players the same when you come in this league. When you get drafted, that's one day of your life. One day you're going to get drafted, you smile, you hug, you do all those things. That's one day. Playing in the NBA, you want that to be your career. So where you go is far more important than when you go. Where you go. You know, we've seen it over and over again. A player starts out here and he kind of waddles around and all of a sudden he goes to another place and all of a sudden you go, wow, what happened? This player changed. Mm-hmm. So again, I never put emphasis on having the best player in the draft. I always say I want the best player after the draft.
Yeah.
After the draft. And yeah. That's what I always look for when I come and I start looking around the NBA is try to find the right combinations, the right coaches to fit the right personality.
By the way, BJ is in a gym right now. I believe there's some sort of camp going on. And if you'll notice, there's no bouncing of balls or squeaking of shoes. So obviously the coaches are talking and now he's suddenly gotten quiet on the sideline. He's not one of those coaches. Being very polite. So that's why we suddenly went masterpiece theater or anything like that. Simply BJ's in a unique setting. I want to get, this is a subject that I've really been looking forward to talking to you about because it involves LeBron James on the eve of the NBA Finals. There were racial slurs painted on the gate of his home in LA and he spoke about it. I think spoke some truths about where we are in America and what it's like to grow up and to be black in America and that it's tough. A couple things I want to pick your brain about. And the first is simply, and I don't know that you had any personal experience with this. Maybe you had somebody that you played with who did. But what is it like? I can think of a player or two who I saw have personal issues off the floor and it clearly affected them on it. I wonder what it's like though from your vantage point to see this happen to LeBron on the eve of such an important part of the season for him and what that does to a player when something like that so personal and threatening happens.
Well, it's very unfortunate and it's a very unfortunate situation. The example here, we have a wonderful country, but things happen and we have to be aware of our surroundings, our environment. And, you know, it's very unfortunate that happened, not only to LeBron, but anyone. Mm-hmm. But again, you want to say you learn. This is a teachable moment for us all, and we move on from here. So
yeah,
it is, you know, you just you hear about this and you just shake your head. But this is the world we live in, and we continue to move on, and we continue to move forward, and we continue to fight. And in the end, you know, the right thing will happen. And the right thing is equality. You respect people, and but you got to get through these tough times to get to the correct moments. And the correct moment is, I think we all know what that is, but we're not there yet.
So I can't remember. I want to say that you weren't with the team, with the Warriors team, when I was covering them. And there was a guy named Carlos Rogers, and we were up in Portland, and it was close to the end of the regular season. They obviously, it was the Golden State Warriors at that time. They were not headed to the playoffs, but there was a relative who was at his house back in the Bay Area, and they were causing some kind of havoc or destruction at his house. And he was made aware of it shortly before the before the game started. And I was watching him during the game. I learned all this after the fact. He ended up getting a technical foul in the game. He was just off. It was clearly just emotional, and you kind of couldn't match it with what was going on in the game or where they were in the season. And so I've literally, this is a different thing, but I've literally seen where guys are dealing with things, personal things off the floor, and the ability to escape them on. I mean, we even saw Isaiah Thomas dealing with the tragic death of his sister. And while he played and guys talked about it being a sanctuary, I suppose it gives you a certain amount of distraction, but I can't imagine that you can completely block it out the entire time you're playing. The one other thought that I had is, I just wonder, because BJ, you experienced this same thing. It was probably a time in your life when you were more exposed to racism, and not that you ever stop being black or ever stop being aware of that. But I wonder when you are able to move from, you know, Detroit or 8 Mile or Akron, Ohio, and now you're living in Brentwood or Beverly Hills, and you have money, and you think that I've taken my family and I've put them in a safer place, and I've put them in a community and a part of the world that is more equality minded, and then you have something like this happen. Was there ever a point for you in which, like, you thought, oh, okay, I've moved on, or I've evolved, or I'm with people that don't think that way, and you found out different?
Well, I remember growing up in Detroit, and I remember my grandfather telling me, I'm always going to be black. So I've never felt that I've made it. I never felt that wherever I was at in the world, I always had a sense and an awareness of who I was. So I didn't need any reminders.
But was that from you, or was that from, like, you there were always signals with, you know, whether it was people or whatever it was, that there were always, that society was always sending you messages that reminded you that you were being treated different because you were black?
I think growing up in Detroit, I just had this awareness that I didn't need validation to say I made it. I didn't need to have, money wasn't gonna change my outlook. You know, what I thought was going on from what it really was going on, or what it is. So I've never, ever in my life, can't recall not being aware of who I was and where I was from. And that's not gonna change. So when it does happen, I'm not like in shock. I'm not like in, oh wow, how could that happen to me?
Yeah.
I just had this awareness, yeah. And I have this awareness now of who I am. And I accept it, I understand it. That doesn't mean I agree with it, but I understand. So my awareness is always coming back to, I have this sense,
And I owe that to my parents. I owe that to the people that were around me. I owe that to my family members who gave me this awareness. So I don't need possessions or homes or where I live to validate me. It doesn't mean anything. It's nice. It's nice to have. It's nice to be able to enjoy nice things, but I am very aware every day, 24 hours a day, who and what I am and what I stand for. So, and my principles will, you know, hopefully be imparted into my kids and their kids. And so I just never ever felt I made it.
Right.
It just wasn't the way that we thought in the Armstrong house.
Right. Makes sense. All right. We are at the halftime break. This is when Shane Freeman, our producer, takes over and provides you the musical entertainment before we go on to the second half. We'll be right back.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, today's halftime break on the BJ and Bucher podcast is a little bit of hip-hop for you guys. This is definitely a classic record, no pun intended. And the song is called Classic by DJ Premier, featuring Rakim, KRS-One, and Nas. Listen to the lyrics and get up on the knowledge, all right? Enjoy.
Yeah, is y'all ready for 2007? It's now another drought. Everybody's a killer. Wow, we bugging out. Just 86 showing the crowd what I'm about. And they still want to know when the album coming out. Ask the teenagers, OGs, and ask the kids what their definition of classic is.
Timeless, so age don't count in the booth. When your flow stays submerged in the fountain of youth.
Ain't no doubt in the truth, I'm off the meters. Everybody co-signed it, even non-believers. Since I came in the door, became one of y'all's leaders. In the fresh pair, Air Force One sneakers. Uptowns, we call them uppies when they on divas. Probably one with KRS-One teachers. Nas made you look before the heaters. I bet your car had them on when he walked with Jesus. These classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live, straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Time. Foot down, represent to the fullest. Nas, I rock well.
Perseverance. See the fake hustler rapper to them, it hurts to hear this. Oh, you went platinum, yeah, that's nice. Now let me see you do the same thing twice. Three times, four times, then a couple of more times. Please, you're amateur night, it's showtime. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. The world could use one less man. Not enough air, not enough car factories to manufacture new vehicles, sedans, and vans. When they do make the whip, you like your chips ain't right. By the time you could afford it, the car ain't important. In the streets I'm in, it's just iron. Cops keep firing in my environment. Leaving your slump, then they drive home. Far from the hood, brothers, they eager to jump on. I like to be the wall that they toast up on. I like to see them fall, guilty for doing wrong. I'm classic like the Air Ones, the hustler shoe. That's what I'm accustomed to, yeah.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Time. I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Of course, we have Blastmaster KRS-One.
How many of y'all got criminal minded? You, y'all, don't be blinded. Me, I got no jewels on my neck. Why? I don't need them. I got your respect. KRS-One, 20 years I rock. I do it for JMJ and Scott LaRock. This hip-hop, and we's a nation. Don't you want to hear more KRS on your radio station? Instead of broadcasting how we smoke them teams. On the radio, we need to hear more local MCs. Will you rap? Come on, will you rap? This is the difference between MC and the rap. Rappers spit rhymes that are mostly illegal. MCs spit rhymes to uplift their people. Peace, love, unity, having fun. These are the lyrics of KRS-One.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Time. Welcome back. It is the third quarter, which means it's time for our NBA trivia challenge. Today's trivia challenge is titled Finals Facts. We are testing our NBA knowledge. As you know, this is always a real hoot to find out who knows less. BJ, what year did the Walter A. Brown Trophy get replaced by the Larry O'Brien Trophy as the NBA Championship Award? Was it in 1981, 1982, 1983, or 1984?
I'm going to say 1984.
And that would be incorrect. It was 1983. 83. All right, what do you have for me?
How many more NBA championships has the Eastern Conference won over the Western Conference since the league began hosting the finals?
Okay.
A, 3. Mm-hmm. B, 6. Mm-hmm. C, 9. Mm-hmm. D, 12.
I'm going to go with 12.
It's B, 6.
That was a total guess. All right. How many NBA franchises have won? I just know we're going to suck at this, okay? Can I just, as a precursor for all of our listeners, we are going to suck at this trivia challenge. Not that that's news, but I just in particular, usually we have a half an ass of a chance. This is just so random on our producer's part. All right, I'll continue. How many NBA franchises have won the NBA Finals? Is it 17, 18, 19, or 20?
How many have actually won?
Yes, how many different NBA franchises have won the NBA Finals?
17, 19. 17, 18,
19, or 20. Yeah.
18.
That would be incorrect. It's 19. And you know what? I'd love to say that you were close, but any guess that you made would be close. Like,
that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. All right, here we go. How many NBA franchises won the finals between 1970 and 1979? A, 2. B, 4. C, 6. Or D, 8?
I'm going to say 6.
That would be incorrect.
Damn, it's 4?
D, 8.
8? That many different ones. Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Well, that's the good amazing. News is that I have a tiebreaker for you guys.
Oh, good, good. So we can more abuse.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, this one should be fairly easy for you guys. How many NBA titles have the Lakers won since the franchise began in Minneapolis?
Since it began in Minneapolis.
Yeah. 13, 14, 15, or 16?
I'm going to say 16.
14.
Ding, 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 ding. Rick Bucher, you won, man. It was 16,
dude.
Yeah,
because they're one behind the Celtics still, right?
That is correct. The Celtics have 17 out of 21. The Lakers have 16 out of 31.
All right. Once again, order is restored to the universe. I am the trivia champion.
It just keeps going. It just keeps going.
With that, we will move on to the fourth quarter. Our guest is none other than JaVale McGee. I caught up with him right before the NBA Finals started. I caught up with him at Media Day after the Warriors practice. Had a chance to talk to him about that unnamed Cleveland player and what he had to say, along with why he chose the Warriors and why they've proved to be such a great fit for him and how this experience might change the way he looks at continuing his career in the NBA. Enjoy this conversation with JaVale. What does it mean to you to be here in the NBA Finals, like right now?
I mean, it means everything to me to be in the NBA Finals because this is the point. Like, this is the only point to play is to win a championship. So being able to get in it in my ninth year is definitely a positive thing. And to be able to do it with the best team in the country or in the world is amazing. So it's definitely a blessing, and I just feel like all the positive vibes that are in this organization really help people just grow.
How did you come to the decision to come here in the first place?
I mean, it wasn't really a decision. Like, you ask anybody if they don't want to go to the damn near defending champion Golden State Warriors rather than going to a team that's going to give you minimum, but they might not even make the playoff. You can't deny that. You're going to go. And it really wasn't a decision. It was a yes before you even asked the question. So, yeah, definitely.
So you weren't curious about what your role was going to be, like any of those things. It was simply...
None of that went through my head. They already had two centers already. So I was just like, I'm going to work hard and see what happens. That's all I can do.
Now, I would imagine and I've talked to like Zaza and David West, they had other options. Like, mm-hmm. they could have done other things, probably picked up a little more money, guaranteed minutes, et cetera, and they chose this place too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have, were you looking at other things and said, no, I don't care about that, this is where I want to be?
Yeah, I had other options, but they weren't really prominent options to where like it was life-changing or it was going to really affect me in a more positive light. So I figured this would be the best situation.
Why did you say life-changing? Like, why did you think that this could be life-changing for you?
I mean, it's to be on the platform of the Golden State Warriors where they're winning and you're a part of it,
mm-hmm.
of the winning, you're not mm-hmm. just not playing at all. Like, you're actually getting minutes and contributing to a championship. It's a positive thing, and it skews your people's view of you in a more positive light. So it's definitely a positive thing for me, and definitely my reputation, quote unquote.
Yeah. I remember going back and watching you prepare for the 2011 dunk contest, I think it was. And you were talking in ways, I don't know why, maybe YouTube or somewhere, but I saw videotape and there was a lot of thought that went into the things that you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, I always thought, you know what? JaVale is way smarter than people give him credit for. And I wonder what that's like for you to have this portrayal of being maybe way smarter than the average bear and being perceived as not as the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a gloater, so I've never been the person someone says something wrong and I'm like, oh, you said that wrong. I'm smarter than you. You said it like this. I just let you rock. I let you do, say what you want to say. You're you. You know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm a positive person. I'm not really into bringing people down. So when people try to come at me like, oh, you're dumb, blah, blah, they never do it to my face, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always online or people on Twitter or on TV, but then no one ever says it to my face. So it's like, how can I really respond to that? You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
you can't respond
right.
to a Twitter egg and say, oh my goodness, I'm not dumb, I promise.
Right.
You look dumb saying that. So
right.
it's like a lose-lose situation as
right.
being a smart person
right.
and trying to respond to people who are calling you dumb.
What do you do with this unnamed, I don't know if you heard it, some unnamed Cavs player saying he's too dumb to play in the finals?
I mean, he's unnamed.
Yeah.
So until he gets a name, I guess I can't respond.
But to this point, do you just let all that slide, or do you utilize that as ammo or fuel to say,
it's ammo, but then you try to think like, do I want it to be ammo? Because what if never actually got said? Like, what if it was just the reporter making it up just because he knew it would be a headline?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when it's unanimous or unnamed players and stuff like this, sources say, I never listen to it. Like, it's whatever.
I think you have, to a certain degree, you have reset people's perception of you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from here? Like, when you think about, like, staying here, going elsewhere, like, do you take advantage? How do you view what you want to do moving forward now that you've kind of hit the reset button?
I mean, truthfully, you really can't. Like, you never know what could happen. Like, something could happen here or something could happen somewhere else where it's a better situation. Or this could be the best situation. This could be the best situation for me next year. So, I mean, you never know, especially in free agencies and summer trades. All
yeah.
this, a lot of stuff that goes on. And you will never, like, you really can't think about it because you never know. Like, I've been in this league long enough to know that it's random. Like,
yeah.
anything could happen. Someone could have a sprained pinky and they
yep.
need you now. Like
yep.
it's so much stuff that could happen. So you just got to be ready. That's all you can really do.
If somebody comes at you with big money elsewhere, like, do you have to think about that? Or what are the priorities for you after considering everything you've been through? What are the priorities for you now?
I mean, my priority is myself and my family and being able to be able to take care of my family for the rest of our lives. So just being able to do that is definitely a positive. And then you have to think about the platform of Golden State. Like, it's coming to Golden State for lesser money, a more positive and a better career move than going somewhere else where you're playing, but you guys are losing and you don't get any publicity. It's all negative. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like,
yep,
it's so
yep,
much
yep.
stuff that you have to weigh into account. And I guess that's what I'm doing now. That's what I'm going to be doing once we win this championship. That's the main goal right now, is winning the championship. Everything looks better after you win the championship.
Who among the players has regained or restored your trust and made you truly feel like I am valued and I'm a piece of this?
I mean, it's definitely I would say everybody, but it's definitely a crazy feeling to have four All-Stars and you being the most positive story of playing. Like, they play the best, or they get the most points, or whatever the stat was. I don't know what it was.
When you're on the floor.
When I'm on the floor. Yeah. That's crazy to think that you can be a part of that, of a team that's already, the year before you, they won 73 games. So they don't need you, obviously. So it's just like, it's just a real positive thing, just knowing that you're needed and that you can actually make an impact on an impactful team already.
Well, the thing I see with Draymond and you in particular, like Draymond, you make a big defensive play. I can almost guarantee Draymond's coming down looking to throw you a lob or somehow get you the ball to reward you. What is that? I don't know how unique that is. I don't know how much that means to you, but what does it?
I mean, definitely the reward system on this team is amazing. I've never been on a team where every time out, everybody gets up, claps everybody's hands. When guys get out the game, usually they're mad. Here, no, they get out, they clap the person who's coming in for them, then they go down and clap everybody all the way to the end of the bench hands. Like, it's just so much positivity going on with this organization. And we've just built into each other just stay positive, stay ready, don't care, don't worry about your personal goals or your personal stats. Just stay ready, your time will come. And that's what's been happening all year. Everybody, like even the 15th man has to step up sometimes. So it's like, and at one point I was the 15th man, literally. So, I mean, it's definitely just a great organization, and it really humbles players to be a part of it.
I think one of the things that impressed me the most is, I think there was something that happened on early on where you inbounded the ball for the other team or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't ignored. Like, guys saw it, they had fun with it, and then they let it go. And exactly. So it was like, it was an incident, it was a moment, but they didn't use it as like a definition of who you are. And yeah. I thought that was profound because it was different than like some of the other things are portrayed, like, you did this, you went behind your back, you dribbled the ball, whatever, da da da. That's who you are.
Yeah.
As opposed to, no, man, that's something that happened.
Exactly. Definitely. These guys are definitely, we're all about having fun. And if something's funny, it's funny. And that situation was hilarious. But the next day, there was nothing said about it. That day, all the joke, everything. But after that, it was over. Like it never happened. So it's definitely a positive thing to be a part of an organization that just goes in strides and just tries to stay positive through everything.
No. All right, last thing. Course of this season, where was it? Where was the point where you really felt connected with this team? Like, it really came home, what you meant to the team, what the team meant to you, where that bond became what it is today?
I mean, I definitely appreciate the way they had my back in the whole situation with the Shaq thing. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely a positive thing. And there was no backing down from anyone on my team. So that was definitely a positive thing. And I really hold that dear. So mm-hmm. It's definitely just watching your teammates have your back and in the public and not just on the court, like in public also, is a crazy feeling. And it's definitely a great thing.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Hope you enjoyed that. I know that I did. Hope that gave you a glimpse into Mr. McGee. I know that it did for me. Keep in mind, if you're listening on iTunes, be sure to subscribe to the show, rate, and leave a review. We say this every time, but it means a lot to us, and it actually helps us in more ways than you know. So go on there. You can say whatever you want. You can say it short and quick. But if you pop on there and leave a review, it would mean a lot to us and it would help us greatly. Also, check out our website, bjnbucher.com. We have a bunch of stuff on there. Ryan Hollins and his latest travelogue from Europe will be coming up on there shortly. And as always, you can follow the show's Twitter page at bjandbucher. BJ, as always, thanks for going the extra mile and doing it from I don't know if it was a basketball court or a library there at the end, but in any event, thank you for joining me, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.